from hanging on too tight. Clench a jaw. I've got another headache again tonight.
Eyes on fire, eyes on fire. And they burn from all the tears I've been crying, I've been crying, I've been dying over you.
Friday morning, the weekend has arrived, and there's a lot of excitement around this game tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. The 7-1 Riders meeting the best team in the East, and add to the fact that we've got a couple of the best quarterbacks going right now. Trevor Harris meeting Bo Levi Mitchell, and we caught up with the Riders linebacker C.J. Revis as he's excited to suit up for this one tomorrow.
As a pro, as a kid, you think about growing up and playing in big games. And I know it's just a regular season game, but I feel like we're both two great teams. I think it'd be a good battle for sure.
It's going to be a battle, and someone who knows all about being up for these big battles is our Grey Cup champ and Green Zone analyst, Belton Johnson, who joins me after a bye week. You had a bit of a vacation. You feel good? Good times?
Oh, had a great time, Greg. Wish it could last for a couple more weeks.
Well, yeah, you almost need another week off just to recover from your vacation. That's what I find. So are you all done? Summer holidays are done now? It's just focus on getting the kids ready for school?
That's the focus, getting the kids ready for school. I think we got, about 2 weeks or two and a half, somewhere in there. And let's just say the kids, they're going to start getting upset here when we start like telling them to go to bed early.
No kidding. I can relate to that in my household, too. Look, we've got a big game tomorrow. Many are calling this a Grey Cup preview. I mentioned earlier, can't believe with about 10 more weeks to go, we're saying that already. Is that how you feel, though?
That's exactly how I feel. You know, you got the best team from the East versus the best in the West, and, you know, two bona fide quarterbacks. You know, Trevor Harris, he's done great so far this season. Bo Levi, he's looked amazing. You know, this is the second game here, right? The Riders, they beat the Ticats, week two, I believe it was. And so I know the Ticats, they're good on the road. I believe they're, 4-1 on the road this season. So they're going to come in here and try to, you know, advance that week two loss.
And let's not forget, Bo Levi has a 12-7 record against us overall. But I still think our defense has the edge in this one, and we'll come out on top, don't you?
I do think the defense has the edge, and, you know, the thing I think is it's going to come down to stopping the run. The Riders been really good, like amazing, stopping the run. So they're going to make the Ticats one-dimensional, Greg. And you know, I've worried about, you know, that secondary with the Riders, but long as the Rider defense, if they could get the one-on-one battles up front in the trenches, or, you know, bring a couple blitzes, you got to get Bo Levi off his game some way, somehow, and it starts with pressure.
Last bye week, we came up pretty flat in the first game back against Calgary. Coach made a point of padding up first practice when they return this week. How important do you think that was to try and start the focus like that instantly?
Well, and that's the key thing, right, is, you know, when guys go on bye weeks and everything, right, you go home, you see your family, and, you know, you kind of, I guess you relax a bit, right? So when you come back, I like the idea of putting the pads on because it gets that mindset ready, right? And let's face it, the Riders, they know they're playing a top-tier team out of the East, the Ticats. And they're going to be ready for this challenge, I believe, Grant.
Well, look, week 11 got off to a good start last night. I don't know if you caught, it was just like, pick it up from last week. Red Blacks and Winnipeg in the final minute. So much happened, and Ottawa looked like they could have won that game, but then Zach Caleros got it far enough down the field for a field goal, 30-27 mm-hmm. final. I expect the game tomorrow to be 32-27 Riders. You?
Oh, I got a high-scoring one here, Greg. I got Riders winning at 37-31.
37-31. Well, we're both kind of in the 30s there. This is going to be fun, my man. Look forward to hearing you on the pregame show and after with all the fans. Can't wait.
Hey, sounds good, Greg.
Ahead of his Alberta by-election on Monday, Pierre Poilievre visiting Evan Bray right after the 8:30 news here this morning. Come on, bring that back. I love this song. Elvis Presley, Frank. just a hunk. Oh, and we ran out there. I wanted to play a little Elvis and remember it's 48 years this weekend that Elvis Presley died. 48 years ago, this Saturday, if you tuned in to what was then 1300 CJME, you might have heard.
Good evening. Elvis Presley died today. He was 42. Apparently, it was a heart attack. He was found at his home in Memphis, not breathing. His road manager tried to revive him. He failed. A hospital tried to revive him. It failed. His doctor pronounced him dead at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
That was August 16th, tomorrow, 1977. And the candlelight vigil will be held, of course, tonight in Graceland. And joining me now from across the hall is Buzz Elliott, host of the Jack 94.5 World Famous Sunday Morning Oldies Show. Buzz, you're an oldies expert. How significant was Elvis's influence as his star began to rise in the early 50s?
I don't know if there was anybody more significant than Elvis Presley. I mean, this is a guy who even, you know, influenced his peers. You know, Little Richard, who had all these hits that were covered by white artists, didn't mind Elvis covering his songs because Elvis brought him a whole new audience. But, you know, Elvis wasn't just a singer. He was literally a phenomenon. He was the first true rock and roll superstar. He redefined pop culture. He was a trailblazer. He was a movie star. He was a cultural icon. By these early 20s, he was the most photographed man on the planet and one of the most famous people who ever existed. And even today, he remains the best-selling solo artist in the history of recorded music. And more than four decades after his death, you know, his voice and his style and his legacy still resonate with fans. I mean, the Beatles, Paul McCartney has said that Elvis was the one, the major influence on them.
And they were eager to meet him. And it was just only a few years ago, Priscilla Presley, Elvis's former wife, remember that evening where the Beatles came over to meet Elvis?
They were so cute. They were so excited, but so nervous. They were truly like kids, you know, meeting their idol, especially John Lennon. It was a little bit awkward because they just kept looking at him and not really saying anything and not really sitting down, just staring at him. It felt like it was a long time, but Elvis just said, you know, guys, if you're just going to stand around and stare at me, I might as well just do my own thing. And he grabbed a bass guitar. I heard later that Paul had told Jerry, once he picked up that bass guitar, I knew I was in.
It seems so weird to think the Beatles, the legends they are, would be so nervous meet another. But they're just like everyone else. When you that's incredible, though, that Elvis's influence, I don't think it's as impactful today as it has been in years past. But 3 years ago, that Baz Luhrmann movie came out on Elvis Presley. Tom Hanks is the Colonel. My youngest was, that was 3 years ago. She'd been 12 years old. Suddenly, after that movie, there was a resurgence of Elvis lovers.
Absolutely.
She wanted vintage movie posters for her room. She was like all in on that movie.
Sure. Elvis soundtracks were all of a sudden back in the, you know, the iTunes and the streaming charts. I mean, it doesn't take much to put something in the spot like that for it to resonate with people and create whole new fans. And there's another Baz Luhrmann Elvis documentary that is set to drop soon. It just debuted at the Toronto Film Festival, and it's getting rave reviews. And this one is not a movie. It's a documentary that features lost footage from his 1970s Vegas years.
Just a few weeks ago, I had Rory Allen, who, of course, is a local tribute artist to Elvis. Mm-hmm. And he spoke of that movie 3 years ago, and he was aware of the documentary. And he said, as that movie came out a few years ago as an impersonator, he said his audience suddenly got younger. He couldn't believe how many young people were coming to watch him because of the influence of, you know, movies like that. And I'm sure this documentary, too. So is Elvis in the top 10? It's got to be in the top 10 of rock and roll legends, right?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, you look at the impact this guy has had. Even artists today don't realize that they're being influenced by Elvis because, you know, Elvis is so far removed from where they are today. But, I mean, people still make it to Graceland every year. The vigil there that begins tonight. Elvis's impact, you cannot overstate how important he was to rock and roll.
You're going to focus on Elvis a little Sunday
morning?
We're
going to do some Elvis on Sunday morning oldies this weekend. It's also the anniversary of Woodstock, so we're going to be playing some Woodstock artists too.
Buzz Elliott from the world famous Sunday morning oldies show at Jack 94.5. Thank you, buddy. Well, guess who's talking to the Epa Bray Show? Coming up right after the 8:30 news. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre ahead of his Alberta by-election on Monday, stopping by. So right after the news, you'll hear it live here on 980 CJME. It's Greg Morgan with you now. And I have not yet seen this movie, Weapons. It's number one at the box office. And likely, maybe even this weekend, there's really no major competition up against it. So, but it is the most talked about movie after you've seen it, because everyone in the newsroom says, you gotta go. But it's relatively a straightforward story when you hear the trailer.
At 2:17 in the morning, every kid woke up, got out of bed, walked downstairs, and into the dark. And they never came back.
Where are our children?
17 kids, apparently all belonging to one classroom, taught by a woman named Justine, played by Ozark's Julia Garner. I love her. Go missing one night. And apparently the film doesn't spend a lot of time on parents realizing their kids are missing. Instead, you're kind of just dropped right into the aftermath in which the parents are already looking for the kids. But that's about all I think anyone is comfortable giving away about the plot. And all the people here at work, some of my friends who've seen this movie, said, just go, go. So what is it about this movie? Our resident movie critic, Brett Buster, here last Friday. You gave it a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. You're rejoining me now because this movie still has a lot of people talking. And Brett, all week long, as I've said, I've never heard so many people say, just go to the theater and see this movie. Mm-hmm. They're pretty passionate about it. Why do you think that is?
I honestly think it's the hook and the mystery of the movie. I mean, like, that trailer is so captivating. People just, you got to know what's going on. And I really haven't heard one negative critique of this movie. Everyone in the newsroom, I've been discussing it with them since I saw it. Everyone's really digging it. This director did the same thing with his previous film, Barbarian, but where Barbarian was way more scary and horror, this one kind of leans a little bit more mystery thriller, with almost like you're watching like a true crime TV series, which so many people love.
Yeah, and to have so much heat for moviegoers, this plot must be incredibly rich. Because as you've kind of alluded there, it's not just about missing children. I hear it's almost more about how several characters are all tied to one another in ways they could never, I guess, foresee. Is that true? It's quite a story arc?
Well, the way that the film is told is in different perspectives and chapters of the various people in the town dealing with the fallout. And so you see a lot of overlap with events you've already seen, but from a different point of view. So it's really fascinating in that it's constantly keeping you just they only give you just enough to keep your interest peaked, but you're seeing the events from different, you know,
perspectives.
Yeah. And it keeps it very fulfilling and interesting, and you're constantly wondering what is going on. And I do think that the reveal is satisfying, which is also why people are enjoying
the film.
That's
what I was going to ask you. Is this a movie you have to chew on after leaving the theater, or is it that satisfying of an ending?
I think it's good. There's some stuff I have some questions and qualms about, but, you know, even discussing it with people in the newsroom, I've sort of come to some conclusions. So it's a film that's made to be talked about, which is also why I think there's so much enthusiasm to see it, and people going again probably to, now that they know the answer, to look for the clues in the beginning of the film. I think it's a film that will reward many rewatches. I don't know if I need to go to the theater again to see it, but I'm definitely going to watch it again when it's available.
Good acting
at home.
Too, right?
Oh yeah, Josh Brolin and Alden Ehrenreich, who played Han Solo a couple years ago. He was probably one of my favorites in the role or in the movie, and it's just solid, and it's not too scary for general audiences who aren't into horror films. There is some scary stuff, don't get me wrong, and there is some gore, but it's way more of a mystery thriller, and I think a lot of people are really gravitating
awesome.
Towards that.
Well, it's just been a while since I've heard so many people talk about a movie.
Yeah, well, and the title, like Weapons, like what does that mean?
And
what
you're
does
right,
that
the
refer
trailer
to?
Is deadly.
Yeah.
Like it hooks you right away. Okay, there you go. There's another reason. See what everyone else is talking about if you got nothing to do this weekend, although there's lots to do. Maybe Weapons at your local theater is where you are headed. Thanks, Brett. Switching to Glide, the Kinks. Oh, man, I haven't heard that in a while. You'll hear it live if you head to Shake the Lake next weekend. Tickets are available right now, and this week we've been giving away some freebies. I know next week we will, too, but Saturday night it'll feature the Kinks. You just heard there, Trooper, Stampeders, the Headstones, and earlier I announced an opportunity to win, and if you missed it, Tim Kreitzer. We're going to hook you up with tickets for this Saturday night of Shake the Lake. Congratulations. And again, next week, if you've lost out this week on Shake the Lake, I think every day next week, starting with Kevin Martell, I'm off on Monday. We'll be back Tuesday, but every day next week, we'll have Shake the Lake tickets. The next big party of the summer, week from Friday today. Hey, you know, earlier in the week, we shared with you the Apple Music interview with Chappell Roan, the Grammy-winning global superstar whose song Subway references Saskatchewan. She has outwardly said she wants to come to Regina and perform. And again, just to refresh, why she used Saskatchewan in her song Subway, she revealed in the interview.
Because, like, it rhymed. Because I was like, I can't remember. There was other options, but I was like, we'd already used Boston and Feminine Avenon. And I was like, we needed something on. And so
Saskatchewan, effectively four syllables with a ghost fifth. It's a writer's dream.
It's awesome. I've never been there, but I promise I will perform there one day.
You have to.
I also just love that the capital is called Regina.
She loves this. And now it's gotten extra attention from Jimmy Fallon last night on The Tonight Show. I love this bit. Here he did.
Speaking of music, Chappell Roan's new song, The Subway, has sparked a tourism boom in Saskatchewan. Yeah. She mentions it in the song, but I don't see what the big deal is, because there's actually a bunch of other songs that mention Saskatchewan, but they're not getting any press.
Really?
Well, like this one here.
Yeah, it's a party in Saskatchewan.
You know, yeah, see what I mean? I mean, also, like this one, too. You know what I'm saying? That never get any press pickup at all. No press pickup. This one, too.
If you're lost, you can love a new and white man.
Yeah, you know that one? I mean, that's a jam that we all know and love.
I love that. That was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. I have to agree, though, that the Love Shack version, which is played at every wedding, I think now everyone in Saskatchewan will sing Saskatchewan to that song as Fallon did. So it's catching on. Chappell Roan is coming. May not happen, you know, what's left of summer or even the fall. I think if it happens, it's probably going to be sometime in the new year. But mark my words, she's coming. It'll happen. CJME News Time now is 827.